Welcome to Woods of Warner, South Carolina. It been a bit of a challenge, to say the least. We were supposed to be live outdoors, but it's just wasn't happening. So we moved indoors to an office here in Clover High School, and we'll see how this goes.
I think that's about all we could say, Roger. I'm glad to be on the show again, and you know, it was kind of a train wreck outside, but Roger got it together, and I'm pretty sure we're live.
I think we're live, and if we are live, then you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Appreciate you in today. Got my good buddy Geddes Brannon, formerly the president of University of South Carolina Anglers, graduated marketing degree, has gone on, linked up on the Bassmaster. Holy smoke, there's a bunch of trophies over there. What?
Well, you know, we might have won a tournament a few years ago that counted for
something. Oh, yeah. That's why you're pointing all the trophies over here. Yeah, they are FLW champions 2015. Geddes and I, you know, we were kidding earlier that I knew Geddes when, and you turned around and told me, well, I knew you when, because we started this, both our careers in the media outdoors industry started about the same time.
We did. It started at the Outdoors Classic down in Columbia at the State Fairgrounds. And I remember you walked past me and said, you know, showed interest in the group. And you said, I want to get back into the fishing side of it. I said, well, I think I have some connections to help you out. And you said, well, I'll be glad to have you on the air anytime. And you know, I can't keep count of how many times I've been on the show.
I don't think it really matters. Every time is different. Every time is fun. And we'll just keep doing it as long as we're having a good time together.
You're right about that, man. And I'll tell you what, there looks like there's a lot of high schoolers having a good time outside and weighing in. They have the Shimano booth out there. They have a lot of cool things going on for family fun. And they have quite the weighing going on. I hate we can't be out in the sun looking at it.
I think the whole problem was the Ethernet line was just so long they had to put a butt connector in there. And that's where the little popping and clicking in the signal was coming from. Well, so, hey, we're in what office are we in?
I think we're in the athletic director's office.
Could be. Basketballs everywhere, trophies everywhere. You know, want to give a special thanks to Clover High School. They opened up their facility for last night where they had the cafeteria fed everybody. Then they moved over to the auditorium, had a great program last night, a lot of free stuff for these kids. We got to talk about the high school bass class, so really hats off to Clover School District for opening up this facility for these kids to have the venue they really need for a trailered weigh-in.
Oh, yeah, York County has really done a lot for high school fishing, and bringing in the North Carolina schools as well is huge. And to have, you know, nearly 300 boats on Lake Wylie, that's remarkable. It's unsurmountable. Because if you put one more boat than that out there, I don't think they're having where to fish.
That's true. It looked like little specks of black pepper out there on the water this morning. Everywhere you turned, there was another high school boat.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's fall fishing, fall turnovers going on, and it's been tough for guys. I don't think we saw anybody at the limit. So whoever has that limit, you know, doing something a little different than beating the bank with a jig or a buzz bait, they're going to be able to be up there near the top.
You just brought up an interesting point, which is turnover. A lot of people don't understand what happens when these lakes turn over. I was down at Lake Murray Thursday. Ellie Jones, you know Ellie from Drear Island State Park, the ranger there, and he was telling me about it. He said that Lake Murray actually turned over in a day on the 24th, night of the 24th, end of the 25th of October. Lake Murray turned over, and essentially what happens when a lake turns over during the spring and going through the summer, you get a thermocline, mm-hmm. Which is a temperature break. And that thing gets more and more compressed as the water gets warmer and warmer. And above that, you've got oxygenated water. Below that, you've got pretty much dead water. Mm-hmm. And that line gets really, really tight. And when that water temperature starts to change in top and it equals that cold temperature below the thermocline, it flips.
Yep. And it basically flips, and one thing to look for fall turnovers when you start seeing the leaves on the water. you know, the oxygen levels fish flip, and it makes the fish a lot harder to catch and until they get acclimated to it.
Ellie was saying this about stripers. If you're a big striper fisherman.
Oh, man, I don't like those things.
Well, I know they're not the right color.
Not after Lake Murray. If you're out there bass fishing, if you're fishing a bass fishing tournament on Lake Murray, those stripers are invasive.
Yeah. Well, to you they are. A lot of people have fun catching them. But anyway, what he was saying was, he said the 5-pound stripers and less, unaffected by turnover.
Because there's so many of them.
Well, and they're so young, they just don't. He said you will find all the big ones are sitting down at the very bottom of the lake.
Well, you know, that's when you go down there to the dam and you drop a big old herring down there and you just float it and let it go.
That's it. But we were talking a world of knowledge, Ellie. He just knows a lot about everything. But he's a fisheries, but studied fisheries in college.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Which is what makes him so good down at Deer Island, because he understands the whole process.
Ellie does a wonderful job. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be around this industry for about, I would say, 6 years now, and I've been to tournament venues all across this nation. I mean, all the way from New York to Texas, and it's amazing to see what Ellie does at Deer Island. And our friend over
at
Visit Anderson, Neil Paul, and we'll talk about the Bass Nation Championship after the break. But Neil and Ellie, they're the ones that make this economic impact possible for the state of South Carolina, because we're not big enough, we're not large enough to have a professional sports team. And when you have this many boats coming in for a tournament here in York County today, there's going to be a lot of money spent in this county.
Didn't we hear an estimate of how much money was going to be spent here this weekend?
I don't have the estimate off the top of my head, but I mean, you got to think they're going into the tackle shops. They're going into not only the tackle shops, the restaurants, hotels, you know, gas stations. That's the one thing people say, that golf is a big economic stimulus. Don't get me wrong, it is. But that golf cart you plug up and you let it charge every day on this water, if you're practicing right, you're running out of tank of gas.
That's right. And we didn't run out of tank of gas today, did we? Because somebody was really, really, really late picking me up today.
Don't get on that.
Who would that have been?
Definitely wasn't me. I'm always on the water at the right time.
But, yeah, those two do just a great job.
They do, and we need to see more of it. We need to see more of it near the Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie area, the Santee Cooper area. You know, the Corridor of Shame, as it's been called nationally because of the poverty level. And you have two of the greatest fisheries, or one of the greatest fishing areas in the whole entire nation, and we're not utilizing it for national tournaments. So we got to figure out some state money, or got to talk to your local representatives and see how we can bring some money to the Santee Cooper community so they can bid on Bassmaster events or FLW Tour events, any sort of events like that. I know we have a lot of local tournaments, but that would really start to stabilize the economy. And who would think that a little fish swimming around in the lake could make some money for the economy? And I tell you what, that area definitely needs it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of fish down there.
Oh, man, big ones. I've been told
buddy
by
Patrick
Andy Montgomery
Walters.
And a lot of the Elite Series pros, they say that is the most underutilized lake in the nation. So,
yeah. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. I don't know exactly what you got on your list, but I got a few on my list. Get into a little bit of hunting, maybe. Talk about your year on the working for bass on the Elites. And I can't hear the music, but I understand it should be playing about now. 30 seconds. Music playing. It's been a while since I've been on live remote. Bear with us. We'll get this right. But hang on through the break. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. My good buddy Geddes Brannon after this message. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Nothing like live radio. Always an adventure. I want to, before we go too much longer and pick back up with Geddes, and that is the right way to say that, by the way, Geddes. I want to do a short calendar of events. And as always, these events are brought to you by Visit Anderson, Green Pond Landing and Event Center down
in Mount Paul.
Been a great sponsor of the show. Appreciate their support. November the 4th, Fall Foliage Paddle Trip on Lake Jocassee, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. You're going to meet at Lake Jocassee's Double Point Number 1 Access. That's in Salem, South Carolina. You can find more information about this at Glendale Outdoor Leadership. That's setgoals.com. In Charleston, the Charleston Angler, which, I don't know, has two or three locations now. I know they got one in Mount Pleasant. One there. I don't know if they kept the one up in North Charleston or not. They always have a GoPro Film Festival. So it's time again this year on November the 8th, 7:30 p.m. They are hosting at the Terrace Theater the GoPro Film Festival. It's their sixth annual. If you're interested in entering, you can drop your submission to the West Ashley or Mount Pleasant location or the one on St. Andrews Boulevard in Charleston. For more details, get a hold of the Charleston Angler. And if you want to submit. If you want to go, there are tickets for sale at all locations. And like I said, it's on the, I guess, comparable to the Fly Fishing Film Tour, except it's on a very, very local level. So you essentially have probably just South Carolina shorts submitted for this. I wanted to remind you of this before it gets too much longer, because it is October the 28th. The deadline for all the state lottery hunts for waterfowl, whether that's adult hunts, youth hunts, and the MACB public lottery quail hunt, are due October 31st. They're all done online. And you can find more information at the dnr.sc.gov/hunting/draw hunts website. Some of the, let's see, did I print these out? I thought I did. Maybe I did. Yes, I did. I actually went back because the Department of Natural Resources publishes every year the bird per hunter. I'm sorry, my computer just did something that really made me nervous. It's trying to access iTunes. Anyway, I went back. Every year, the Department of Natural Resources publishes the waterfowl harvest statistics for the prior year. So the season summary for 2016-2017 goes as follows. If I were doing a state hunt, I would definitely look to the Bear Islands. 4.5 birds per hunter, 3.7, 5 birds per hunter, 4. So an average at Bear Island is 4.4 birds per hunter. Now, I think the way they're achieving this is they're limiting you to 25 shells. So if you are going to these, be aware you're only going to take one box of shells, which means you really need to pick your shots, which I think is a great thing. You know, they went to 50 shells on the public dove fields. Now they're doing this. So Bear Islands are great. If you had to pick a second, you'd probably go to either Sandy Beach or Santee Delta East. Although SCR the Cape, Cedar Island, SCR Murphy Island, they all have a 4 to 4.5 bird per hunter average. So don't forget those. Get your applications in. There's a non-refundable fee when you apply, but it's minimal. Let's see, I was trying to see. It doesn't say anywhere on here. Anyway, I believe it's $10 to apply. And you need to make sure you have all of the applicable licenses, stamps, waterfowl, hardware, from decoys to waders to a good retriever is always good. So anyway, don't let those get out of your, and I'm going to do mine as soon as I get back home Monday. All right, Geddes, wake up.
I'm awake. You're just kind of scaring me. You're reminding me of old principal sitting across the desk from me.
Well, there are worse things.
Could be like the live connection not working outside. But hey, we're on here.
We're on here. Hey, what was it like having Davey Height around this year on the Elite doing the color commentary?
You know, Roger, it's great that you asked that, because if you look at every other sport in America that does any sort of live or any sort of recorded broadcast, you have a participant or a former participant of the sport that comes on, and you know, either they retire or go forward, and they come on and they give you an in-depth look at that sport. I mean, it's just like Troy Aikman talking about quarterbacks. You look at Davey Height with a Forestwood Cup win, a Classic win, an Angler of the Year, two-time Angler of the Year. It's remarkable. It's remarkable to have what's going on through a competitor's mind on Bassmaster Live. Y'all can watch that. I watch ESPN, ESPN3, or, of course, over on Bassmaster.com. And like I said, Davey, Tommy Sanders, Zona, you can't beat that broadcast team, man. It's ridiculous.
I'm just glad to have somebody on there whose accent I can understand.
Yeah, people don't understand our accent too much. You know, I have to brief all the marshals. And when we went up close to Canada, they had a hard time understanding me. And then I figured out most of them were speaking French.
He is one of a kind, though, you know. Just as nice as you could.
Oh, yeah. I had him on the water with me last
week. That's right. You did.
The
Bass Nation.
Live analyst analyzing of Lake Hartwell for the Bass Nation event. You know, at that event, there were anglers from 47 states, 9 different countries, including Mexico, Japan, Australia, Portugal, Italy, Zimbabwe, Namibia. Okay. I was doing good so far. All right.
You were doing
the province
really good.
Of Ontario and a lot of South Africa.
No.
So some of those guys made it to the last day. It was pretty remarkable. On a herring lake.
Which is unusual to fish.
Very unusual. Especially when you get those stripers that you love in them.
I didn't say I like stripers. I just enjoy catching any kind of fish. And the nice thing about stripers, and you and I did it, you know, the night lights. I'm not going to tell where we went. Don't look at me like that.
I'm telling you now. I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking
about.
No
comment.
Stripers are great at night. We'll leave it at that.
Let's go through some numbers real quick.
Numbers of what?
Let's go through some bass fishing economics. I like to call it bassonomics.
All right. You got about 4 minutes.
Got about 4 minutes. All right. Every year, freshwater anglers spend $408 billion on new automobiles, other vehicles, and aftermarket products, $83 billion in retail sales, $28 billion on travel, $25 billion on home improvements, remodeling, $24 billion on electronics, $3 billion on contributions, $48 billion on fishing gear, accessories, fishing-related travel, and more, $657 million on fishing license, and $400 million in donations to conservation and fishing. So what I'm saying here is look at the numbers. Look at the high school teams we have growing up, and they're just going to grow.
They're going to grow. What does that do to the pressure on the resource, which is a question I've raised several places?
Well, my honest opinion on this, Roger, is we need to take a step back. The state of South Carolina, the State Department of Natural Resources need to take a step back. They need to look at Alabama. They need to look at Tennessee. They need to look at Texas. They need to look at Florida and see the way that these places are managing their fisheries that are fished, you know, 1,000 boat tournaments out on Toledo Bend. How do you restock that? And, you know, a lot of times they'll go out with fingerlings, let out fingerlings, and, you know, that's a good way to do it. And they go all over the lake. But that's a great question. You know, it's become so much of a, commercial and residential zone in a lot of our lakes that we kill off some of our natural resources that help these fish reproduce. And, you know, we still have some great natural resources in South Carolina, but I really feel like the management could be better, especially on
the reproduction side. I think Florida strain largemouth introduced to the state of South Carolina could be huge.
It could be. The only problem is you got South Carolina legislature.
Well, we talked about this before us too.
I know we have.
Well, so listen, if you want to see Florida strain bass in South Carolina lakes, call your local legislator. Tell them why. They grow larger, they grow faster, and they're a lot bigger than our native fish. There's a few Florida strain fish down at Santee Cooper. That's the reason you see the 10 to 12 pound fish caught off the bed.
Yeah, but you're going to start running into their non-native fish arguments.
Well, look what it's done for the economy in Alabama. I mean, look what it's done. They replicated the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail and did the Alabama Bass Trail off of it, and each community's benefiting $10 million each time they have a tournament. I mean, what's the worry there?
I'm just saying, that's the argument you're going to get.
Well, I've played devil's advocate with that for a long time.
I know you have.
I still will. And, conservation's key. So, you know, if you catch, let them live.
But you say introduce them. Look at the weight some of these tournaments are pulling in. I mean, FLW Cup, three-day tournament pulled in this time. The weights of a four-day tournament 3 years ago.
And you have a valid point. Lake Murray was in a slouch a few years back when Anthony won. But also what you had were a few more guys than just Anthony that knew what the deal was with those cane piles. And those fish eat on herring like protein. Well, we'll hear the music. We'll be back to you after break.
There's the music. Woods and water on the other side of the break. Collins going on today. Gotta rotate my bumper music. Gotta remember to do that. It's always something to do.
There is always something to do. And I heard you woke up our good friend Neil yesterday morning as he was asleep at your hunting cabin in Chester. He said, "Oh boy, was just trying to get some sleep." And I heard a shot go out of him.
Look, he's exaggerating a lot.
So what happened there?
What happened there is I got in a lot of trouble. My brother is mad at me. Taylor, my daughter, is mad at me. All because this year, before deer season started, I said, I am doing nothing but bow hunting this year. And that's all I've been doing, which is why I haven't gotten anything.
But, you know, bows don't make that sound.
No, they don't make that sound. But there's a story. The story is, we knew we were coming here this weekend, so I took a couple of days. Went down Thursday morning, fished with Anthony Gagliardi, caught a few fish, took some good pictures, came on over to the farm. Neil and I addressed Riley's Cup last night about the high school bass class, and I just invited Neil. I said, hey, come over to the farm, spend the night. We'll get up in the morning. We got some marketing stuff we've got to work on. And then I took him fishing on the pond. And I just couldn't help myself. So Friday morning, yesterday morning, I got up about 6:45. And I'm guilty. I've been guilty of this in the past of going out on the back deck because the back deck overlooks about a 500-yard shot.
There's no sport in shooting from the deck, right?
No, there's not. And this shot did not come from the deck. If it had, Neil probably would have died a heart attack. Anyway, the deck is right beside the bedroom that Neil was sleeping in. So I went out on the deck, and at 7 o'clock, it's dark. But I see a deer at the end, 520 yards away, I see a deer. It tells you how big he is to begin with. And I was like, well, at least there's a big one over here. Because I'm not a fan of game cameras. I don't own a game camera. I never will if I can get away with it. In fact, my brother and I have some really serious arguments about that from time to time. But anyway, I see this nice deer. And like I said, 500 yards, I can see his antlers because the sun is from behind me. So the rising lightning sky is illuminating him. And he walks off into the woods, and I'm like, well, okay, at least there's one over here. So I see a doe go running across the pasture. Well, there's deer number two for the morning. A few minutes later, I see another doe, and she's running away from me. And when she slams on brakes, and she's got her tail up, she slams on brakes, I see two ears and a set of antlers, and they're 220 yards away. They have soft edges, so there's pine trees, there's a road, and there's
junk. A hard line and a soft line. And
yeah, passing. I mean, it's just whatever will grow. I don't bush hog it. And I see him, and I'm like, nice deer. Very nice deer. Well, we have rules over there, and I cannot take a shot off the deck anymore because I violated that in the past two times. So anyway, I get off the deck. I run down to the edge of the woods. I'm not going to shoot in the pasture because that's part of the sanctuary. But I figure this deer is going to turn in the pine trees. He's going to come out and give me a shot coming out of the sanctuary, going into hardwoods. And he does. He does exactly what I thought he was going to do, except when I got a hold of him in the scope, he's 25 yards away. Already seen me, and he's nervously starting to go back in the pine trees. I had one shot, took it. Neil says it woke him up.
You killed it.
I did, but I really started.
It's a good buck.
I was getting worried because the deer ran 400 yards.
That's a long way for you and Neil to go. I hope you had a golf cart or something.
You want the good part of the story?
What's that?
I could smell him. You know, buck and rut, he is a foul-smelling little animal. And I could smell it because the air was early in the morning. It was settling still. And the lower part of I could smell him. And I said, this deer is right here somewhere. But the grass is so deep and so thick, even walking through it, I couldn't do it. So I put Neil in a chair in the back of the gator, like Granny Walton. No, not Walton. What is it? The Beverly Hillbillies.
Off Clampett.
Grandma Clampett in the back of the gator at an elevated chair to see if we can't see this deer laying in the deep grass.
Poor Neil.
It was fun. We had a good time doing it. But, you know, that deer ran all the way across and was almost in the pond at my neighbor's house. Good deer, 180 pounds, 8 point, probably 16 inch spread. And I'll look into one of those every once in a while. One of my good friends texted me, goes, Chief Metz is back. Because about 3 years ago, we had a deer hunt down at Erie Hall Plantation. And beforehand, there's, of course, this is a writer's group now. So there's a lot of going back and forth and wagering and stuff like that. And something was said about, you know, you always got to have a bunch of people back in camp chopping wood while the chief goes out and hunts. Well, that night on that hunt, I was the chief and nobody else got anything. So I have a reputation to uphold now, and I got the chief is back text yesterday morning. It's good to be back. I'm not in camp cutting wood. I'm not hunting.
That's right.
It's a story. And Neil claims it, you know, jolted him out of bed and all that. Yeah. I don't believe it. Because the thing about it, he didn't show up outdoors until an hour after I'd taken the shot.
Probably took him that long to wake up and get out of bed.
Could have. Another adventure with Neil and Roger. Batman and Robin is what somebody compared us to the other day. Have a good time. So that's my story. It was, there's always a story. And to me, yes, I like to shoot a nice deer. But it's not always about that. The story makes the experience. It just makes it for me.
Stories in fishing and hunting are both.
Life in general.
You know, they're passed down.
That's right. And just think, that memory of seeing Neil elevated in the gator bed, it's going to live forever. So I encourage you. And the other thing is, when you take a picture of that deer, we cleaned it up a little bit, took a good picture, because don't rush those instances. That picture lasts forever. A little preparation is a good thing. There's a good way to take a picture rather than just take a picture. Think about the setting. It's the same with fish pictures.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, don't give us the 3 foot in front of you fish picture to make it look bigger. But just plan your pictures a little better. Whether it's fish, hiking, camping, hunting, whatever, just plan that picture a little better. Because that picture's going to last forever. The moment's not, the picture will.
It's very, very true. There's going to be a lot of kids outside making memories today.
I guarantee there's a bunch of pictures being taken right out there at that weigh-in stage right now.
And you know, we talked about it earlier. Not only is there 300 boats before we transition on to a little bit of Bassmaster stuff, but not only is there 300 boats, but there's almost 900 people combined because you have the high school anglers' dads and some in some sorts people that aren't even related to
uncles,
the anglers.
Uncles, friends. Somebody's got a boat.
They're volunteering their Saturday to take some, you know, to take somebody fishing, and how wonderful is that?
Do you see the family tents that were going up out there? This is like tailgating for bass fishing.
And y'all realize, listeners realize, when I was in high school, I graduated in 2012, there was not high school bass fishing teams in the state of South Carolina. And college fishing was hardly known. And, you know, I was very, very fortunate enough to be on the forefront of that and have some opportunities with it and help Gaffney start up their own club, and they do pretty well. And, man, we got some good fishermen out there that are learning early, and it's just going to get harder and harder for the guys to stay up with them.
And it's showing in the
it's showing in the
FLW series. And the bass side.
You see a lot of the college guys coming over, but now they're going to have high school to prepare them even more.
So. Yeah.
I look forward that it's going to be a tough level of competition.
You know, they got a no information rule in bass. What are your thoughts on that?
No comment.
That was about as.
No, I think it's a great rule. I don't have an opinion on it. I'm unbiased as a journalist for bass. I'm unbiased on it. I think it is great that they're going to get to go out there and find their own fish to a T. And I think it's going to really separate the men from the boys. I'll say that much.
And I think there's a lake on that schedule you've got right there that's going to show us the men from the boys. There's a lake on there I've never heard of, and I don't think any of these guys have ever fished before.
We're going to Pierre, South Dakota.
That's it.
Lake Oahe. And I'm looking forward to going to Mount Rushmore, but that's going to be a crazy place.
I've heard it's a great fishery, but that's a fishery that, I mean, how many times do you think Kevin Van Dam's been to that lake?
You know, it's hard to say. I heard that there used to be some FLW walleye tournaments out there when they had the walleye series.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as bass fishing, it's going to be a, it's going to show you who can catch them.
That's it. Well, thank you for enduring my story.
If there's a fish in a mud puddle, these Elite Series guys are going to catch them.
Yeah, they fished in some mud puddles, Lake Dardanelle this year.
Steve Kennedy won it on a swim jig.
That's it. All right, hang on. Last segment of Woods and Water South Carolina coming up after this break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Last segment, I do not want to forget to thank Rod Goodall, Riley's Catch, Chris Canute, Clover High School Fishing Team, for including us, Geddes and I, in today's event. It's been, you know, he's had a tough road to hoe with this thing. Too much water, not enough water. And he got hooked up. I think this is a great event. You know, there's a lot of high school kids out there, middle school kids, college kids. You know, they look at the future and what I want to do. Some of them out there got aspirations to fish professionally. You are unique.
Thank you. I guess.
In that you did not have the advantage of fishing in high school. You got into college. You fished your college career. graduated with a degree that you were fully intended to put into use, and there really are, just not in the sense that most of them would think you putting in a college degree and earning a living. But you're essentially living an angler's dream.
Well, you know, it's it is a dream, and I am very fortunate, and God's blessed me to work for the oldest organization in the bass fishing industry with BSS. And, you know, we're over 500,000 members strong, and we keep our culture and resources going, and they're so dedicated to the conservation and to the youth and growing the sport. And it's amazing to work for their digital team. And, you know,
what's it been like? I mean,
it's like
2 years ago, you would have had no clue you were doing this.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. Well, you know, I started helping with GoPros a few classes ago, but I didn't realize it was going to come to this.
Right.
You know, if you would have told me 2 years ago I could call John Cruz or Mike Iaconelli and ask for outdoors business advice,
right,
I would have called you crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I've developed good friendships, good relationships on the road, and it's truly been an incredible journey.
Give us something good on somebody. Something funny that's happened over the past years.
Well, this might not be funny, but most of our listeners know who Kevin Van Dam is. And if you don't, he is the greatest fisherman of all time. And at the St. Lawrence event on the Waddington River, excuse me, in Waddington on the St. Lawrence River, Van Dam went wire to wire and won. And he comes over one night for a sponsor cookout. He helps cook. He's all about it. I think it was the first night. Well, the second night, him and Scott Rook, they have this deal where they love frying up fish. Well, after the second day, of course, it gets cut from 108 to 51. And there are probably 3 to 4 guys, well, probably more than that, that were there that did not make the cut. And to show you what kind of human being Kevin Van Dam is, after leading the second day of the tournament, needing to go work on tackle, needing to go get his stuff prepped, he was elbow deep in flour, literally, fried up fish. So he's a heck of a guy, and it just shows you a lot about our sport. And that might not be the funny story y'all are looking for, but, they're out there. But it just shows you the humility and the, that you don't find in any other sport. And
you guys eat well.
Oh man. Can't you tell?
I can. Follow any one of these guys on social media and they start putting up foodie pictures.
Oh man. James Overstreet, Steve Bowman, they can cook some mean steaks, ribs. I mean, and you know, one thing that I want to bring up, this dream would not be possible, of course, without my family and friends, without my mom, without my stepdad, without a few sponsors, and just to name those real quick, Uploaded Fishing, Hammock Clinic Neurology in Columbia, South Carolina, Fishyard Rods, Costa, Bodyworks of Gaffney, Greenfish Tackle, High Seas, and Zoom, and Loose Fishing. And I know this isn't an advertisement, but, you know, I just want y'all to know that it's hard to go out here and do this sort of job without any sort of support.
Yeah.
And, you know, not only the support, but what this job has brought me are guys like Steve Bowman, Steve Wright, James Overstreet, Dave Preck, some of the legendary outdoors writers and photographers that stayed over through the ESPN merger, and to get to learn from them and be the youngest one on our crew by probably 15 or 20 years is just amazing.
You know, I see you posting blog posts, you're shooting pictures all over the place. Officially, what are you supposed to be doing for bass?
I'm a utility man. I kind of do everything, but, you know, I hand out Bass Track phones That's the way we track who's catching fish, who's not.
During a day of the tournament.
During the day of the tournament. And that's how we dispatch cameras and make sure the live show has what they need.
But you do everything else, too.
Oh, yeah.
You're out there shooting pictures.
I've gotten very comfortable with the camera in my hand, and I got to spend the day with Ish Monroe a few weeks ago and Adrian Avina one day. Kelly J, that was at the Classic Racket on Pocagama Lake in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And that place was just beautiful. But, you know, speaking of Van Damme, the first time that they put the big camera in my hand, I was assigned Kevin Van Damme. So it's awesome to be able to work with people that you always have looked up to and are true legends in their own rights.
Last week, Bass Nation, Anderson, they put you to work there too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I was shooting on the water, weigh-in, registration, a little bit of everything. In a digital world, you know, we have to get those pictures up as fast as possible. And hats off to Caleb Summerall out of Louisiana, the champion of the Brian Kershaw Memorial Trophy. And if those of you who have not heard the Brian Kershaw story, Brian Kershaw was the nation angler that won the nation championship 2 years in a row. The first time he went to the Classic, he finished last. The next time he won, and unfortunately, I think it was about 6 months afterwards, he passed away in a plane crash. So they named the trophy after him, and John Stewart and his nation team do an incredible job of getting not only national anglers, but international anglers a chance to go to the Geico Bassmaster Classic presented by Dick's Sporting Goods on Lake Hartwell this year, but also get a Bassmaster Elite Series win. So it's going to be interesting to see if Summerall takes that bid. I think he will if he can get the sponsors together, and I think he's going to be a name to look out for.
Schedule next year, the Elite Series.
Real quick, schedule. All right, we're starting out at Lake Martin. That's going to be a big spotted bass fishery. For the second year in a row, the Classic's going to be, well, last year was our third event. This year it's going to be our second event, and we moved it to March 16th through the 18th, and that's going to be on Lake Hartwell, Greenville.
Is that
going to
be a pre-spawn?
You know, last year during the FLW tournament, there were actually fish already spawning, but it's hard to tell yet. You know, it's been relatively warm, but it's starting to cool off. You know, I'm glad that they moved the date up, because before they were having to pour coffee on their trailer to get their boat off the trailer.
Yeah, I was there.
After that, you got the Sabine River. They always show up big, Orange, Texas. I hope that, you know, that area is okay after Hurricane Harvey, and you know, that's incredible devastation to be in the city of Houston for the Classic this past year. After that, we go back to Grand Lake of the Cherokees, the location of the Classic 2 years ago, and it's been there a couple times. Then they go to Big Fish Lake, Kentucky Lake, May 4th through the 7th. They'll catch them deep there. That's going to be really cool. We got a place for the River Rats, the Mississippi River, La Crosse, Wisconsin, in late June. And then we go to South Dakota. June 29th through July 2nd. Don't ask me a word about that, because I have no clue what to say back to it. Haven't even seen a picture of it yet. And then we go to the Upper Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. Last time Aaron Martins won there and sealed the deal on Angler of the Year title, his third one. He had 70 pounds, 2 ounces. Crazy, crazy. Then they're going back to the St. Lawrence River, where Kevin Van Damme won his 24th event that I was just speaking of. That place shows up incredibly well, 33,000 strong. If you have never been to a Bassmaster event, this is not just fishing. This is truly an event, and you need to come out and see it. So if any of these events are near you and you hear us online, come find us, and we'll be more than happy to welcome you there. And then, of course, we have the Angler of the Year Championship, the Classic Bracket. I will tell y'all, those will be released this upcoming week.
The Expo this year in Greenville is going to be the biggest ever.
Should be the largest ever.
You know, we showed them back in 15 that having it at Lake Hartwell, doing all the events at Greenville works perfect.
And it was 20 degrees. It was even colder than that. They were having to dip the rods down in the water to get the ice unfrozen. But, you know, the incredible thing is people show out in the state of South Carolina for bass fishing. And it's growing larger and larger every year.
Every year. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a totally different tournament than what Casey won it like. Is it a wide open field?
It's a wide open field, but I definitely would have Casey Ashley on my fantasy team. You know, John Cox, who won last year during the spawn,
yes,
is going to be participating in that tournament.
That's right.
So that could be interesting.
Going to be fun. You're going to be around all week long.
You're going to be working. Probably for another 10 months.
Yep.
I hope, if you hear me out there.
Well, I know it's been fun watching you progress. Our friendship has been good, too.
It couldn't have been done without you, Roger, and everybody around me. And I can only give the support to God and my family. And I really appreciate everything that y'all have done.
Gennis, thanks for running me around the lake. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Anytime.
People, as always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't ever forget that camera. We'll see you back next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. My mind.